Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, October 9th, 2018. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm good. Curious to see what Google's up to today with the with their phone and stuff announcements. So I'm good. Exciting day.
I think it's an interesting day for Google. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of Google, how about this whole Google Plus thing? What's up with that, Dave?
Google. Well, if you were to ask me that yesterday, I would have said, what thing? Right. Google Plus was that thing we used to use. And I think my account's still active, but it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And that's true. Although I'm lying a little bit, I would have had to rewind 2 days because for whatever reason, yesterday I was in one of our engines that's called Deliverit, which posts some of our things to our various social channels. And I saw, my Google Plus account's still there. It's still posting, things to that when I post stuff. So yes, it's there, but not for very long. Google seems to have decided to kill it. So. Well, at least actually, for consumers.
Yeah, right? They're killing the consumer facing stuff. Right. So all the things that they use to put our faces and names to stories, those kinds of things are still going to stay there.
Okay. Got it.
And I don't know if there are other things as well, but it's basically like the social networking platform is going away. The parts that they use to track us as writers, those are staying.
Yeah. Okay. So really what this comes down to, I'm sure, is that Google realized that their social network platform just wasn't competing. So it was time to gracefully retire, right? Oh, no, I got that wrong.
That would make a lot of sense.
It would make a lot of sense. However,
the deal is, sometime back in the spring, back when Facebook was in the midst of all of their various breaches that were happening and being disclosed late, Google had a data breach that exposed information for I think hundreds of thousands of people, which is obviously relatively small for their overall user base. And what they did was they did an audit to see if the thing that had happened to Facebook, which was a third-party app being used to gather data, if they were vulnerable to the same thing. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, the answer is yes.
Whoops-a-daisy.
And then they did a check to see if they were vulnerable to people knowing that this happened. And they decided that, no, they're not vulnerable to that.
So, from their perspective, the more important of the two tests.
Correct. So they decided that this event, what they had found, did not meet the threshold for necessary for public disclosure.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here for immediate public disclosure, right? Because they have now disclosed it.
They did now, but why? This was a report from the Wall Street Journal that disclosed it.
Right, but didn't that information come from Google as part of their, hey, we're shutting this down and here's why, right? Because they didn't come out and say we're shutting it down because we can't compete. They're shutting it down because they have a security issue that they don't want to have to fix.
People briefed on the incident and documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. That does not sound like a public disclosure to me.
That sounds like a controlled leak to me.
I think that's very charitable of you, and maybe that indicates that you're a better person than me.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. No, here's why. And part of it is the way the information came out, right? But the other is that it came out hours before their, 2018 fall hardware announcement event, right? So Google's in the news yesterday, and now this morning we're excited because the Pixel Slate is their new tablet and they've got a Pixel 3 phone and they announced the Home Hub, right? I mean, there's like Google's name in the news is now quickly redefined because nobody cared about Google Plus anyway.
So
not that I mean to dismiss the fact that it had some security issues, right? But that's why I'm saying I feel like this all came from Google.
Okay, well let's that is certainly possible. And I certainly can't disprove it by any stretch of the imagination. I don't even know if I want to.
Sure.
But then there's the other part of this, which was that Google executives at the time talked about the fact that they didn't want to disclose this because they were worried about additional regulatory oversight, especially right. in the midst of Facebook having all of its problems. So there was
they were looking out for the industry. They didn't want it to be known that two big players were having this problem because
was an altruistic move.
Well, no, but it sounds like that's exactly what you're saying, Brian, right? Is that they were concerned about their industry being subject to yet more regulations if these two pieces of news came out simultaneously.
Yeah, that is way too charitable. I mean, Google was looking out for a number one, and that's Google.
Of course. Well, I mean, they don't want regulations, and they know that they calculated that, hey, if at the same time Facebook's going through this, if we announce we're having this problem, people are going to be up in arms and regulations are going to come that are going to impact us. So I'm not necessarily saying that they were being altruistic or they were being self-serving, but intelligently so. I don't mean to defend them. I just, you know, kind of pointing out the obvious.
You just path. Are.
What's that?
You just are defending them?
No, I'm not defending them at all. I'm pointing out obvious things that you seem to want to ignore.
Yeah, I do. I do want to know. I think that this was just a crap move that was callous. And when you have to lie and cheat, your message sucks. And when you have to hide information for things to not go against you, you're doing something wrong.
We are not in disagreement on that.
I mean, they had a data breach. They should have disclosed it. And there's plenty of things they could have done to try to mitigate that at the time, to try to head off any potential regulation. The size of this breach is relatively small.
Sure.
You know, and maybe it was or wasn't Americans. I don't actually know.
Right.
And so
So you're defending their decision because
No, I'm not.
No. I mean,
I'm saying that there's other things that they could have done other than to hide this. And I have zero respect for their decision to hide it.
But they didn't hide it forever. They just waited to disclose and decided that it wasn't big enough that it mattered in the same way that the Facebook thing mattered.
Okay, so you're saying that Google decided they wanted to control the message.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, in a way that was awful.
Not from their perspective.
Right. Yeah. I'm not. I
think when you have data breaches, you need to be disclosing them. And we apparently need some regulation to that effect.
Well, but how long between when you I'm going to continue to play devil's advocate because I mean, we're talking about what a 4 month period here, right? That they waited.
We're in the 10th month and it was in the spring. This is, I think, in April. So this is more like 6 months.
6 months. OK, but there is a risk, right? If there is a possible data breach, right? They do this research, they figure out, oh, holy crap. Yep, developers can see data that they shouldn't be able to see. But thus far, the amount of data that's been compromised this way is relatively small. If we make a big deal about this before we plug the hole, it's going to be worse immediately. And
yeah, okay, that's right? Fine. Do you think it took 6 months to plug the hole?
No, I think I don't know.
3 weeks.
Yeah, I would say I would have assumed weeks. Yes, that's right. And during those weeks, they thought, well,
oh no, I would support that.
Well, but during those weeks, they realized, okay, hey, you know, maybe if we wait until we have big news coming, we can help bury this thing in the press. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's what happened here.
And I find that to be despicable, especially with this kind of delay. It's unconscionable.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more things that are unconscionable. I don't classify this as good, but I'm not seeing this as like terribly awful. Mm-hmm. But I'm not coming into this with, do I trust Google? Not really, but we all use Google. Mm-hmm. And I am aware and cognizant, self-aware of that fact that there's a, you know, do I trust them? No. Do I use them? Yes. They provide a lot of services that I
actually trust them to do what they say they'll do. I've said this. Right. I took some grief on this on a podcast at one point. If Google told me that they were going to not use my data for something, I would believe them.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah, because somebody would figure it out.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even if not, I have that level of trust in Google.
Yeah.
But this sort of thing erodes my waning trust in their moral compass.
Huh. Fair. I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. I mean, it's the way you feel.
Yeah, feelings are what counts.
Yeah. So I guess the big thing is, well, geez, all those conversations we weren't having on Google Plus, we're not going to get to have in the future.
That sounds about right. Yeah. I will say this, you know, Google Plus had an opportunity. They really like the whole what is now Facebook Groups was much better on Google Plus than it was on Facebook initially. And Facebook worked pretty hard to capture that type of traffic and those types of communities. But for, I would say, maybe a year, 18 months, Google Plus was the right place to have a community like that if you wanted it hosted somewhere else. I argue vehemently that it doesn't make any sense to, if there's a community about your business, that you should be hosting it yourself, not letting Facebook host it. But that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But in terms of those types of communities, Google Plus was a great place. Like our Mac Geek Gab group, that's really where it started.
Sure.
Is Google Plus. And then we moved it to Facebook, and now we're moving it to our own forums, or have moved it. But mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've long had the thought that it just didn't continue to capture the interest of top execs
of Google. No, and this Google. Is the problem. This is my problem with Google and things like this, right? Obviously, search is really important to Google because they can sell advertising against it, right? So in various ways. So the search will never go away, and search will mm-hmm. always have the attention of top execs. It also seems like they're the extension of those search things, like what they're doing today with their, you know, new hardware and stuff. They seem to be really focused on delivering that kind of stuff. I mean, the Pixel 2's camera is arguably better than the iPhone XS's camera right now, right? But depending on how you cut the mustard, but certainly like they're eager to be very competitive on that front, right? But I look at something like, you know, Google Plus, I look at their Google Wi-Fi, right? You know, I've been studying and following and researching mesh Wi-Fi stuff basically since it, you know, became a thing on the consumer market. And Google Wi-Fi is technologically a fantastic solution, right? It originally it was the fastest, if fastest mattered to you, which mm-hmm. I would argue is if that's what matters to you, then mesh is actually the wrong thing for you. But you know, it was fast, it was easy to set up, it coverage was, you know, good as it is with most mesh things. That's sort of the primary reason you do it. And but just in talking with them about the product and getting questions answered and watching their pace of updates and just the amount of press that they seem to care to get for updates and enhancements is really, really low. It's just it's low on the priority of the people whose job it is to make it a priority. And so that tells me that it's low all the way up the totem pole. So when people, it's the same thing as when people ask, it's like, well, I can't recommend it because I don't know what the future of it is. It could very easily, with no warning and any amount of surprise that you want to apply, just be, we're going to discontinue. That's cool. We don't need it. It wouldn't be the first time. Right. They're predictably unpredictable like that with these, what I'll call fringe products.
It's a bit of a tangent, but I'm surprised that this is a bit of a fringe product.
Their
Wi-Fi stuff. From the standpoint of talk about ways of capturing more data about people and more, having utter control over tracking of more internet traffic, but then also being that key part, that thing that Apple talks about, being where people spend their lives.
Yeah. Well, they're not doing that with Google Wi-Fi, and perhaps that's part of why it doesn't play into the bigger picture for them. Hmm. It's a mesh router system, just like Eero or Plume there's differences obviously, but in a general sense, it's just, it's yet another mesh router system, but one that, isn't like Eero and Plume. Those companies do one thing, and they're really focused on it and off they go. Netgear does lots of things, but they're also really focused on their stuff, as is D-Link, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're router companies, among other things, but definitely router companies. Google is an everything company, and it's like, it's just they make a decent thing, but it's not that hard to make a decent thing, but they haven't done a lot to it since it came out. And that's where it's like, I don't know. The version 2, the existence / timing / feature set of version 2 will be the telling factor there. And the fact that there's nothing to tell is, there you go.
Yep. All right. Since we're talking about hardware, so that's the path we've ended up on. We only have a couple minutes left. So I'm going to toss this out just to get your opinion, if you think it's plausible or not. So Mark Gurman from Bloomberg has said that new iPads with thin bezels and new Apple Pencils are coming this month. And now we have, I can never get his first name right, Guilherme Rambo. From 9to5Mac, he has his own sources that are backing that up, and they're saying that this new iPad will have a USB-C port that supports 4K HDR video out, and then we will also be getting this Apple Pencil 2, and it will connect to your iPad in the same way that the Logitech Crayon does, where you don't have to plug it into the Lightning port. You just tap it on the screen and start working. So you can move from iPad to iPad with a new pencil without having to go through a pairing process. What do you think about both of these?
I'm still this is certainly much better than any other report that we've had that Apple is going to ditch Lightning, but I still cannot wrap my head around the idea of Apple ditching Lightning.
Huh. All right, really? Dave, how about you?
Oh yeah, no, I think ditching Lightning is absolutely on the roadmap.
I'm sorry, I should have said Dave, not ditching Lightning for USB-C.
That's actually what I meant, was that USB-C makes a whole lot more sense over Lightning. You've got different / better power options. You have a fairly robust and reliable physical connector. It is a little thicker, right, than Lightning in, mm-hmm. in terms of the housing for the receiver of the connector, right? It is a little thicker. So does that change some things with the phone? I mean, I've used some Android phones that have USB-C connectors, and it's like, yeah, okay, cool. Honestly, if the iPhone got a little thicker and they added a little more battery to it, I don't think anybody would be upset about that.
But except for Johnny.
In terms of data transmission and power delivery and power, including quote unquote power delivery, which is, mm-hmm. you know, the faster way of charging batteries. Although you aren't going to be able to charge your phone with the same amount of power that you can charge your laptop. And that has to do with a function of the physical size of the battery, the capacity, the maximum capacity of the battery. And there's some math that happens there, but you can definitely charge your phone faster with USB-C than you can with, say, USB-A. That, however, is also true over your Lightning port, right? If you connect a USB-C to Lightning cable that supports power delivery to a power delivery capable USB-C AC adapter or whatever to plug into the wall, you can charge your iPhone 8 and iPhone 10s faster than you can with USB-A. So because you can vary the voltage and amperage more so than you can with USB-A. So yeah, I mean it makes a ton of sense. So yeah, I think I would be shocked, in fact, if the next iPads had anything but USB-C connectors, because that's a good place for them to test it.
The issue to me is that Apple has always used a proprietary connector, and that one of the reasons why they've done so is so that they can control the made for iPhone licensing program.
Right, but they're already now but that's gone. That the hardware requirement of that has now been fixed, right? In that it's in software, where you have to approve on your phone whether you want something to connect. And USB-C allows for a whole lot more of that handshaking to happen. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get it that Apple can control this thing, but do they don't have to if they use USB-C.
But then how are they controlling the licensing?
Oh, I think the licensing would go away. Well, I mean, they could control licensing software too. Right. Like, mm-hmm. here's a thing and it shall not connect to your iPhone, even if you plug it into there. Right. So, that they could do that. My guess is that part goes away.
Yeah, but they make money from that.
They make a lot of money from that. I mean,
money from that and licensing and services and all the, all of these things that are not directly related to selling individual products has been a high focus for increasing revenues, not slicing it.
Well, yeah. Is it possible to increase revenues more by selling more iPads if it has a non-proprietary port that can support a wider range of peripherals?
Yeah. I mean, look at what they've done with the Mac, right? We had proprietary charging connectors on the Mac for a long time with, the various incantations of MagSafe. Or incarnations of MagSafe and
well, sometimes USB-C. It felt like an incantation, but yeah.
Yeah, it sure did, didn't it? But now, I mean, it just opens up so many options. And yeah, I mean, there were plenty of accessories that worked with Lightning, but were not made for iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like that's been deprioritized.
It could well have been, and that would be the key to Apple making a choice like this. It does run counter to everything that Apple has done in the past.
At least with
iOS.
I think the reason for that, though, is that they didn't like any of their connector options previously. Right. I mean, micro USB is awful. It's not reliable. It breaks easily. The connectors are crap. Right. Mm-hmm. With USB-C, that goes away. I haven't seen any crap connectors with USB-C. It's a much more robust interface and much more protected than USB-C. Though that said, I mean, I know plenty of people that bought, aftermarket non-MFI iPhone chargers, car charger, like John Braun a couple of years ago, he bought a car charger from Amazon or whatever for $10, and it melted his iPhone. That was that, you know.
Yeah,
right. You know,
it'll happen.
It happens, right? But he's not alone. I mean, so like this, they aren't limiting who can make a Lightning connector, right? Or at least not a Lightning. They're not limiting who can make Lightning connectors. They have made it difficult to make Lightning ports, but that's not as important.
Fair enough. And we are at the stage where these kinds of rumors have a lot of weight, especially when it's coming from someone other than Ming-Chi Kuo, at least in my book, but certainly with Mark Gurman and certainly with a 9-to-5 Mac. So the reality is that I, at this point, I am probably wrong.
Well, we will probably find out soon.
The bottom line.
I think within the next couple of weeks, we'll know.
Yeah. My expectation is that if Apple is hosting an iPod media event, or excuse me, iPad media event in October, that we are within days of seeing the media invitations going out.
I agree with you, but I don't think there is one.
You think they're just going to roll them out and say, hey, look at the new stuff?
Yeah, and obviously I could be wrong on that and everything else we've said here today, but just based on the fact that there are no dates floating with any weight behind them, mm-hmm. and yet all this other stuff is floating with lots of weight behind it, I don't think there's an event.
Yeah, but I think it's easier for Apple to keep a chokehold on dates when they're doing stuff out of the Steve Jobs Theater.
And yet, you know, we knew exactly when the iPhone announcement was coming and all of that.
Yeah. I actually planned my flights home from a vacation around those dates without Apple having actually announced them. That's how reliable it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could be. You're right. I mean, it's their theater. So they, you know, that part of it goes away. But generally, this information tends to get out with a little bit of support. So,
yeah. Hey, we're like way over time. So we need to wrap up. Dave, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here too.
Yipper.
It's great to have both of you here. This has been a really fun discussion. And listeners, I am so glad that you were here. Thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.